of James. James chapter 1 with me in the Word of God, please. We've been looking in a series of messages regarding right relationships and giving focus to your relationships. And at this point, we've been focusing all on our relationship with God because it is the crucial relationship that we have. But now over this week and at least the week to follow, we're going to be transitioning and seeing how this relationship with God then should influence all of our other relationships. And how it is critical to not just be reading our Bible, but also to be living our Bible. Now, there are people that read the Bible on a regular basis that aren't being influenced by it and really aren't considered spiritual by the standards of the Word of God. There are people that read the Bible and live, and there are people that live the Bible they read. There are people that read the Bible and live, but then there are people that live the Bible they read. Consider Abram and Lot. If I would say one of them may read the Bible and live like whatever they want to live, which one do you think that is? That would have been Lot. He was called Righteous Lot. I'm thankful for the New Testament. Because if it wasn't for the New Testament, we wouldn't have very much evidence at all that he was a righteous man other than the mercy of God delivering him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the same time, Abram wasn't perfect either, was he? There were some issues in the life of Abram. So while we give consideration to this today and the fact that we may just read the Bible and live like we want. There are others that live the Bible they read. We also recognize that every one of us are sometimes on the wrong side of that. I, as a pastor, at times struggle to live the Bible that I read, even though I read it on a daily basis. We might also use the example of Peter and Judas. We'll go into the New Testament. Again, if we would consider which one would we say, kind of maybe listen to the messages of Christ, let's say it that way, but then did whatever he wanted to do, you would say that would be, you'd say Judas. Judas definitely did whatever he wanted to do. Whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. But weren't there times when Peter also did whatever he wanted to do? So again, I don't think there's anyone pure here. But the reality of it is that every one of us ought to be allowing the Word of God to influence how we live. If we are merely reading it on a daily basis to simply say we've read it, we've missed the mark. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We've failed to keep what God wants us to do. And so I want to talk to you this morning about pleasing others for the glory of God. And again, the reality of it is, if we would live the Bible we read, we would ultimately be pleasing others. We're going to begin in the book of James, but ultimately conclude in the book of Romans. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize how important it is to have a daily walk in relationship with you that begins by reading or hearing your word preached. But it definitely doesn't end there. Father, we want to abide in you and for you to abide in us. We want this to be a disciple type of a relationship where we are followers and learners. We are daily pursuing you, and that pursuit is through your word. And so I pray that today this challenge will bring light and understanding on how we are to live for you, and we are to live according to your word. And the result of that is we will also not only have a right relationship with you, but we will have a right relationship with others. Guide us in this thinking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James opened up talking about trials and goes right from the story or the thoughts about trials right into the thoughts of temptation. But then he goes right into the flowing of that into the Word of God. And he says, beginning in verse number 22, that, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For someone to merely be a hearer of the Word or a reader of the Word and not a doer of the Word, you're actually deceiving yourself. Well, what do you mean I'm deceiving myself? What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, let's look down at verse number 26 for a second. If any man among you seem to be religious, okay? If anybody around here seems to be religious, I mean, you're reading your Bible, you're going to church, you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue. Okay, you're reading the Bible, you're going and listening to sermons, but you walk out of here and you don't refrain your tongue. Some people have been known to say, well, I just say what's on my mind. Well, does God want you to just say what's on your mind? That's the type of person I am. I'm really up front. I just tell you what I think. The Bible talks about sometimes as a Christian, we need to be refraining our tongue. The Bible says we're to study before we answer. And so there are those times where we have the idea that, well, I seem to be religious. I know they go to church and they talk about reading their Bible, but boy, they don't ever hold back. They don't ever bridle. So the idea of bridling the tongue means you're holding back. Is there ever those times when you actually hold back? Maybe you should be doing it more. If you don't, look what it says in verse 26, but deceiveth his own heart. We deceive ourselves. If we think we're religious by merely reading our Bible and by listening to sermons and going to church, we deceive our own heart if we're not allowing it to come in, out in how we live our lives by, in this example, refraining our tongue. And he says, this man's religion is vain. And so he says, he wants you to be a doer of the Word. That's a command. Be a doer of the Word. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Not just a reader. Look at verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like... Okay, he's going to give us an illustration here. He says if somebody reads the word or hears the word preach but doesn't actually do it, it's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He says, if you get into the Word of God and read it and it doesn't do anything to you, it doesn't make any changes in your life, it's like somebody getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror and saying, man, I am a mess. But that's all right. And you head out the door and you leave for work. You know, I said to somebody the other day, guys can kind of get away with that. You know, bad hair day? Hey, which hat do I want to wear today? It's a little different for the ladies, maybe. But, dear friend, what the Word of God is saying here is if we're getting in, we're hearing the Word of God, we're reading it, we're seeing, wow, I shouldn't be saying this, I shouldn't be talking like this, I shouldn't be acting like this, but then continuing on in our Christian life, he says, you're not a doer, you're merely a hearer. Well, let's go on and see what he has to say about that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, in that perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Boy, there's going to be a result. There's going to be a blessing. So God says, I take notice. As I'm speaking here this morning to the people that are gathered before me, God takes notice. He knows who's going to get up from here, walk out that door and say, you know what, doesn't matter what he said, doesn't matter what the Bible says, I'm going to be who I am. There are going to be other people who say, you know what I am isn't reaching the standard of what God wants. Well, I didn't bridle myself there. I didn't hold back. I didn't study before I answered. I didn't reframe my tongue. And so the Word of God says, for that one who says, you know what, I need to hold back. I need to guard myself. That one will be blessed in his deed. Turn with me now over to the book of Romans. And I want us to recognize this all starts by having a right relationship with God. And if we have a right relationship with God, then it ought to come out in having a right relationship with others. God was saying there, basically through the writer James, those who get in the Word of God and are having a right relationship with me ought to then walk out the door having a right relationship with others. They ought to bridle their tongue. They ought to guard themselves. Otherwise, they're deceiving themselves and their life is vain. Let me ask you, is your life vain? Is it empty? Are you deceiving your own heart? Are you concluding you're spiritual just because you're reading the Bible or just because you're praying or just because you're going to church in a service like this? Or are you actually looking into that perfect law of liberty and not being a forgetful hearer, but being a doer? Say, boy, I needed that. I'm going to use that in my life this week. On the back of the church, in the front, and even really on the sides, we have some crosses here we've used for acoustical design and actually to help with the sounds here. And so these are sound boards, and we've put them up here in the place of a cross. Notice the cross is both vertical and horizontal. Let us allow the vertical to represent our relationship with God. You know, the cross needs both to be a cross. It needs both to have the vertical and the horizontal. If we just had the vertical here, we basically have a stick. We have a pole. We have a post. The Christian life is to be more than just a vertical relationship with God. We need that vertical relationship with God. We fail if we only have this. If you only have a good relationship with others and not a relationship with God, you fail. You need both, and yes, it begins with this, but then also we need to nail that cross member onto the cross. So God wants us to have that relationship with Him, but then that needs to be borne out in our relationship with others. We need the vertical as well as the horizontal. I want to look at two things here from Romans chapter 15, the opening seven verses, because they're somewhat interwoven. I'm just going to give to you the 2 points and then talk out these seven verses and hope to bring us to a point of conviction here this morning. I want us to see, number one, your relationship with God precedes your relationship with others, meaning your relationship with God must come first. It must come first. You cannot properly have a relationship with others without first having a relationship with God. Secondly, I want you to understand this, your relationship with God also precipitates your relationship with others. What do I mean by that, to precipitate? Well, it means to cause to action or causes something to happen. It moves to activity. Suddenly, something changes. So what I'm saying is this relationship with God, represented by the vertical of the cross, must come first, but then it also must precipitate then a relationship with others being born out in our lives. So dear friend, God doesn't want you to just have a good relationship with Him and then treat everyone else how you want to. God says, if you have a right relationship with me, that comes first. But then it must be borne out with your co-workers. It must be borne out with your neighbors. It must be borne out with your family members. It must be borne out with your friends. We can go on and on. Let's look here at Romans chapter 15. He says, we then that are strong. This is a discussion that started in verse number 1 of chapter 13. Develops through chapter 13, through chapter 14. We're not going to take the time to go back and redevelop that or to flesh that out here this morning to talk about that. But he says that there are Christians who would consider themselves strong. He says, this is the responsibility I give to you. You ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourself. And I believe the reason the Lord put it that way is the temptation for us is, instead of helping them in their infirmities, we just take care of number one. Uno umro. That's about as far as it goes for me with that. But we just take care of number one. And the Word of God says this, you know what, as a Christian, those of you who think yourself strong, you need to help bear the infirmities of the weak. Well, I found that word infirmities to be really an interesting word. It's actually the root word, one of the Greek words that leads to our word for asthma. How many of you over the years have, either as a child or even developed later in life, whatever it is, you've had asthma in your life? Raise your hand, would you? A number of people here. Wow. A number of people have had asthma. I remember Caleb having it as a child and then growing out of it. Some of you have developed it later on in life. Well, there's the word there. The infirmities has the idea of breathing hard. Has the idea of unable to sometimes catch the breath. And because of that, a weakening of the body. And as you would get active and you begin to have an asthma attack, you become quickly weakened. Why is that? Because you're breathing hard, correct? And so what he's talking about here, though, is those that are strong ought to help those, not just help those that are having an asthma attack, but really having a spiritual asthma attack. Those who are struggling. And it actually, I found this really interesting. The word has the idea of somebody who's struggling because of a wrong decision that they have made in their lives. Have you ever made a poor decision and because of that messed something else up? You broke something, you twisted something, you offended someone, whatever it is. Something happened in life, and because of a wrong decision, all of a sudden something bad came out of it. As I was growing up, I was privileged to have a 69 Mustang. I like to talk about that from time to time. And I souped up a 69 Mustang. Dad helped me, and my brother helped me, and we got that on the road. It was interesting. I've taken pictures around of the car burning out, and somebody said to me, what did your dad think about that? I said, I don't know. Ask him. He was in the driver's seat at the time. I was actually the one taking the picture. Dad said he liked driving my Mustang because he never had a car that powerful when he was a kid. So anyway, but I get in the Mustang, and sometimes to prove my point with someone, and I know, being the angel that I am today, you're going to have trouble with some of these stories. But anyway, bear with me. But as to try to prove my point in that Mustang, I would pull up to the front of their house and drop it down into first gear. And with a 351, I'd begin to, you know, let the rubber down on the road a little bit. And I'd weave back and forth right in front of their house, allow the smoke to fill the air around there. And I'd take off, and I felt like I proved a point to them. Don't mess with me. Well, I remember I had an issue with a guy. It was actually on a Sunday. What a spiritual day it was. And I remember I wanted to go prove a point, and so I got about in front of their barn. I thought I'm going to start at the barn, end up going past the house, which is a quarter mile later, and just let it go down through the road. And I remember, and boy, I had the tires smoking and the wheels squealing, and I had it going back and forth, fishtailing it. You guys might know what I mean. And all of a sudden, I fishtailed it a little too much and nosedived it right into the bank right in front of his house. Talk about humiliating. I'm there to prove a point. I'm there to prove that I'm better than him. Well, I tried to back up, but my wheels were going in two different directions. I get out of the car, and here I am halfway on the road, halfway in the bank. And his dad comes out of the house carrying a wrench. I thought, oh no, he's going to come out and dismantle my car. As he gets closer, I saw it's a screwdriver. Oh, that's it. He's going to take my license plate off and call my dad and tell him to come get the car. Actually, he talked to me. He wasn't offended at all. He called my dad. You know what my dad did? My dad came out, and he and I laid on the road and tore the tie rod out and put a new tie rod in. got it back to running. You know, my dad could have easily said, that was your own stupid mistake. What were you thinking? But you know, because he loved me, because he cared about me, he got out and worked on it, laying on the road just like I did. Lesson well learned, right? You know what? I did it again about a month later. Except I bent the other tie rod this time. So there and I, Dad and I were out again, laying on the road, replacing another tie rod out in the middle of the road. Anyway, what's the point? Well, sometimes we see people get into trouble and you say, hey, it's their own fault. They knew better. That's the context of that. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Those who are in trouble because they made a foolish decision, we who are really spiritual, those who are spending time in the Word, that ought to be coming out in our relationship with them. You know, there's a lot of people wagging their heads at them and not wanting to help because of the foolish decision they made. We that are Christians who are growing and having a right relationship with the Lord ought to be reaching out and ministering to people who've made mistakes and because of that are suffering consequences. We as a Christian ought to be different because of our relationship with God. Look at how it goes on. He said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So every one of us that think we're strong in the Lord, we ought to be pleasing his neighbor. We ought to be doing goodwill toward his neighbor. For his good, to his edification. This isn't about us. You know, if we're really walking with the Lord, it isn't going to be about us anymore. We keep getting caught up in our feelings and they hurt me and I'm offended by what they do. And if we're really walking with the Lord, that isn't going to be the main focus. The main focus is going to be, I need to glorify the Lord. And he says, even when they've made poor decisions and done things and gotten hurt because of their poor decision, I'm to help them. So look what he goes on to say. Even Christ please not himself. If anyone had the right to come here and live in this earth or on this earth and do so just for themselves, it would have been Christ. But he came not to be ministered unto, but to. He didn't come here to be ministered unto. He came to minister. And look what the verse says. Verse number 3 really impacted me. In fact, yesterday morning in my personal time with the Lord, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The reproaches of them. The word reproaches there has the idea of deserved suffering. Go back to verse number 1. Remember again the word infirmities. They're going through a struggle, but because of a poor decision they made in their lives. Well, here, Christ, he says the reproaches of them, the deserved suffering. So when Christ died on the cross for our sins, while we deserve hell, he took that upon him for us. And so anything we do for mankind, it doesn't even come close to that. So he says here in verse number 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the deserved sufferings of them that reproached thee fell on me. Can you imagine some of them that were gathered around the cross? Can you picture it? Have you heard the stories? Have you read the story? Have you heard about the centurion? Have you heard about those who walked by and wagged their heads? Have you heard about those that mocked him? Have you heard about those that ripped his clothing in half? Have you heard about those that have scourged him? And instead of Christ condemning them, instead of Christ mocking them, instead of Christ saying, "You'll see who gets the last laugh," He said, "Father," what did He say? "Forgive them." What's He saying? They deserved suffering, but I'm going to take that for them. You see, He led by example. Dear friend, those of you who are in the Word and you're coming and hearing preaching, for us to simply look at the Word and go out and live life the way we want to, we're deceiving our own heart, and our religion, our relationship is vain. It's worthless. We need to be looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing that, keep doing what it says. And hear what it says, that we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's look at how it goes on. Let's pick it up in verse number 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." He says, now I've given you something to help you. It's the Word of God. He says, "I've written it for your learning. I've written it so that we, through the patience and comfort, the endurance and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." He says, "I'm trying to strengthen you by the Word of God." Why is that? Well, the God of patience and comfort grants you to be like-minded. So the God of patience and comfort writes a book giving you patience and comfort. And then what's He going to do? He's going to grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to, just like Christ Jesus did it. You say, "Pastor, I can't do this. I've tried. I've tried for a long time with that individual. I've tried for a long time with this situation. I've tried doing what the Word of God said." Do you know what? We can't do it. We can't. We can't live up to God's expectation. But you know who can? And the Word of God says this: "Without me, you can do nothing." And so what you have to do is say, "All right, you have your time with the Lord and you read there that you are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please yourself." And you're thinking about that. "Okay, Lord, who are you going to bring into my life today that might be weak for me to help?" Father, then what you do is say, "Father, first of all, allow me to recognize when you bring that person into my life today, because I want to continue therein. I want to live what you challenged me with this morning in your Word." And then you say, "Lord, will you grant me to be like, would you help me to be just like Christ in how I would treat them?" You see, a person that's doing that morning after morning, or noon after noon, or night after night, whenever they're in the Word of God and reading and hearing preaching, a person like that is going to be allowing their relationship with God to be borne out in their relationship with others. This isn't about one relationship only, and then I can treat everyone else how I want. This is allowing the Word of God to change us so we treat others like we would treat Christ. Do you remember that teaching about Christ? Well, when have we done that unto you? When you did it unto the least of these. When those who are weak needed help, and you ministered to them, you ministered to me. So here, he says that the Lord's going to grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now let's conclude it with verses 6 and 7 then. that ye may, okay, that I may what? With one mind and one mouth do what? Boy, that would glorify God. If He saw you in your Christian life living what you read that morning, wow, that would glorify God. What does that mean? That would praise Him. That would please Him. That would give others the right perspective of Him. That would glorify God. What is your ultimate goal? Your ultimate goal is to glorify God. You say, well, I don't have peace. It's because of this miserable person in my life. No, the reason you don't have peace is because you're not living according to the Word of God. You live according to the Word of God, you'll get your peace from Him. Your peace isn't to come from that person. Your peace is to come from the Lord. Remember, the God of patience and comfort, the God of consolation, He'll grant you to be like-minded so that ye may with one mind and one mouth, did you notice that? Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, or accept one another, as Christ also... You know what? You as a Christian then ought to be accepting each other just like Christ accepted you. They said, Pastor, you know what they did? Do you know what they're known for? Do you know how they treat? Let me ask you, how perfect are you? And when He received you into His family, how good were you? Or did you have some stains? Well, Pastor, I wasn't as bad as you were. I understand that. You know, I'm just willing to stand up here and tell you the stories of how bad I am. Some of you down there look like angels, you know, like, you look at me like a mocking crowd that crucified Christ. Well, I'm not going to dig into your closet. But I know this, God receives us just like we are. And none of us deserve it. And Peter writes it this way, in not these exact words, but Peter says, if you're only going to do it to the good and righteous, what kind of Christianity is that? And so if you really want to glorify God, it's going to be more than just a vertical relationship. But that vertical relationship is going to lead to horizontal relationships being right. And an example of that is found here in Romans chapter 15. Why don't we leave from today asking the Lord, Lord, what person do you want to bring in my life that maybe has some infirmities? And instead of pleasing myself, I'm going to humble myself and try to work good for their edification. And that will glorify God. God would look down and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So He says here, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory. God was glorified when Christ accepted us. And God will be glorified when you accept others to help strengthen and edify them for His glory. So again, here's the idea. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. So let's say, Father, help us now. We've got some new information. I, as a Christian, now that I understand this passage, I, as a Christian, am called to glorify you by ministering to somebody who has some infirmities, maybe some self-inflicted wounds. Instead of me say, hey, you deserve it. Look what you did. Look, notice how you've been acting. Instead of me doing that, I'm going to do what Christ did when He accepted me in. He didn't mock me for why I'm in the condition I am. He accepted me and He ministered to me. Father, lead someone into my life today that I might minister to them, both in my mind and in my words. May we please others and glorify God with our lives. Let's pray. Oh, how these couple weeks are really important. It is taking our relationship with the Lord and then allowing it to spring forth into our relationship with others. Your relationship with God mandates that you be right with everyone that is around you, striving to maintain right relationships. Heads bowed, eyes closed. He would say, Pastor, I